Welcome to The Walking Dead with three stupid guys. At this moment, only three stupid guys are here. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Great to be here.
Yeah, we're missing Mike. Mike is, we're not sure what happened to Mike.
MIA.
About an hour ago, but he's from
Miami. I assume he won first place in bar trivia this week.
Is that what it is? So, he's probably celebrating.
He's retiring from this podcast. He's like, I got my money now, guys. I'm out.
Yeah, so. I almost didn't make it because are we still listening to something?
Russ, you're the only one here that was watching the episode still.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I almost didn't make it because Russ got me Jack in the Box tacos and they're so good, but I've been paying for it today. That's all I got to say.
How many did he get for you?
There's like 20 of them. My son-in-law had quite a few of them too, so, and my wife, so. Well, thank you, Russ, but my stomach is not thanking you right now, but they're so good going down.
They were good, though, weren't they?
Oh, they're good. They're good. But you pay the price. I'm like a walker right now.
Jay, you said, my wife. I've never heard you say that before. So, I mean, it was my subtle. Wife. It wasn't in a Borat way, but it was
my
definitely...
wife, Cynthia.
At least she hasn't been paying for it.
No.
So, Russ, where did you go to get these Jack in the Box tacos? Did you open up one yourself?
I wish. Jack in the Box. We were in Charlotte.
So anytime we're up to the big city.
Yeah, anytime we're out in Charlotte, we get them. Corey wanted to go there and eat, so.
And Corey's your son.
Yes.
You ever get up to Mount Pilot? Do they have any Jack in the Box?
You mean Pilot
Mountain? Mount Pilot. Mount Pilot, you know.
I got it.
All right. You know, like, you know.
Dun, 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 dun. Getting it now, Russ? Is it coming to you?
Yes.
We just murdered that.
Dun, 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 dun. With Ron Howard.
As the beaver.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, two shows.
All these young kids at home are going, what the hell are they talking about?
What did I tune in for? I tuned in for my Walking Dead fix.
And this is what I get. Anyway.
Blame it on
Mike.
Yeah, he is really the missing piece. He's like our fourth leg sometimes. But yeah. Don't tell him that.
he'll want more money.
Speaking of money, you know, if you want to help out this podcast or the other podcasts in the podcasting network, Jay and Jack Productions Entree, you can help us out at jayandjackpatreon.com, right?
Yep, .com.
And you know, you can go to just jayandjack.com and they'll have everything you need to know about helping us out with this podcast and other podcasts like it. It throws a little bit of money to the podcasters that help out. And if you don't want to, you can always shop on Amazon that way. There's an Amazon link right there. So
Amazon/Jay and Jack. And it's just anything you buy on Amazon, we get a little piece of it.
Or if you want to help yourself out in this podcast, last week I offered up to enroll people or enlist people in basically a prize and the season prize. And it seemed to work because our numbers have tripled for people emailing into the show. I'm so excited. Thank you for all the feedback this week. Who knew it was this easy?
And Matt said, I wish I would have thought about this sooner.
I did. And we've had some retweets too, which is always helpful. Just trying to get the numbers of our show up there just a little bit more.
We'll put you in the entry for that too. If you go on Twitter and retweet it, our Twitter is three stupid guys.
And the third stupid guy is the one that's making all of the racket.
Are you wrestling a bear?
No. Feels like you're
I'm
doing
here. Why?
Huh?
I'm just sitting here.
Okay. It just sounds like you're teaching Helen Keller how to podcast.
No, I'm just sitting here. I'm not doing.
I mean that in the nicest way. That's kind of a maybe. It's too soon.
Yeah, it might be too soon.
Okay.
It sounds like you're fighting a walker, Russ. And you're struggling, and it sounds like you're losing.
No, I'm just laying here.
All right. Well, don't move.
I won't move.
Don't move a muscle.
Don't move. You don't move. Anyway,
speaking of something from our generation that's not Helen Keller based. By the way, I still think that's the funniest thing I've ever said on this show. But you ever notice how the walkers sound like the Tasmanian devil?
Oh, yeah.
They're kind of like, wah, wah, wah. I was just listening to the show, you know, earlier, you know, writing and stuff. And I was like, is that the Tasmanian devil?
Who didn't like the Tasmanian devil?
I guess if you were a fan of Bugs.
Yeah. Bugs right? had to have someone he couldn't, you know.
Yeah.
Get one over on.
I like it, how he married the Tasmanian devil off in one of the cartoons to another Tasmanian she-devil.
Yeah. Which is pretty much any woman. Is that what you're trying to say?
It's just basically another Tasmanian devil with lipstick and a wig, which, you know, earlier on when you're trying to understand gender, you know, you're just kind of like, what's going on with Bugs? Why does he get to put on lipstick?
Also, there's a female Bugs Bunny. You know, he dresses up as
But come on, that was some of the funniest stuff, though, too, when he did that.
Oh, Bugs Bunny is... If you kids at home have not ever heard of Bugs Bunny or have seen Bugs Bunny, I'm sure it's on Netflix or Hulu, isn't it? Or something. It's got to be, right?
It's not the same. You know, Saturday mornings when I was a kid, that was it. There was no Cartoon Network, so yeah. It was pretty much like, you know, I got to watch whatever cartoons I got to, but my dad always had to have an hour of Bugs Bunny and... You know, what was it? The Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner show.
Yeah, because
you know, an hour.
I love the Roadrunner.
Yeah,
one of my favorites, Roadrunner. The Coyote.
Well, Russ, did you watch that growing up?
I sure did. Well, I was about to say my favorite was Foghorn Leghorn.
I say.
Yeah.
That's why you moved. Is that why you moved to the South?
No.
You went over looking for the Southern Rooster. I say.
Yeah, I imagine that chickens in Canada would actually be that tall. You know, yeah, Foghorn Leghorn, he seemed like a pretty gigantic chicken. Like, why hasn't he been hunted and killed by this point?
Yeah, because he'd feed a whole steak, wouldn't he?
Several walkers, at least.
They have provinces up in Canada, right?
I say, I'm a chicken hawk.
Yeah, except I didn't like it when they had that little know-it-all, smaller, chickadee
one.
Yeah, it was like. I like it when he would mess with the dog. That was always. Yeah. So.
I didn't like Pepe Le Pew. I just didn't like him.
Right. Do you think?
I couldn't stand him.
Yeah. Do you think like you know like it's a I don't know Quebec like was that a big fan like.
Oh yeah,
is it big in Quebec?
They love him.
Is it a French thing? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, is it specifically a cultural thing? Like,
no, because I got some French in me. I'm like 13% French, so I don't know if it's that. I just didn't like the character. I'd always hope he'd die.
I always liked the cat that got somehow painted with a white stripe. I always liked that part of the story. It was always
it always got stuck having what Pepe was always going after.
Right. Was this a warning to like all girls growing up? Like, hey, watch out for this guy.
Yeah, watch out for any Pepe Le Pew guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Cherie, my buddy.
Don't paint your tail and go out and not expect to be grabbed.
Right. Exactly.
I've touched on a lot of subjects here in the first 10 minutes.
we do talk about The Walking Dead, though.
We do. I did write up a recap.
We should do a Saturday morning cartoon. Go back and because like I said, the Bugs Bunny that was the Roadrunner, that's the hour I had to make sure I was up for.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
because when I was a
kid, Looney Tunes and Bugs Bunny was always the best.
You couldn't record it.
There was no YouTube.
No, there was this. If you either saw it or you didn't.
I think we just lost half of our listeners. They're just like, we get it, you're old, you're like our dads. We just want to hear about zombies and gore and like what's going on with Carol.
Yeah. Or Morgan. Morgan turned out to be the Tasmanian devil. All right.
Okay.
We were kind of stalling to see if Mike would show up, but I guess Mike's.
We were, because, you know, we need to know if Mike liked the episode. That's usually how we kind of start off. Did Mikey like it?
I'm going to say he didn't.
Okay. Russ?
I liked it.
No, not you. Did Mike like it?
No, Mike didn't like it.
Okay.
I'm going to also say that Mike did not like it. I think for whatever reason. Okay. You know.
It's unanimous.
Yep. So we'll have to find out maybe later at some point if he comes back on the show. He might just be like Morgan.
Indian Devil, either one.
Could be. So we know Russ liked it. Jack, what did you enjoy the episode?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. I really didn't have much.
It was semi-predictable, but you know. Still, it was,
yeah.
I thought the Lenny James that plays Morgan he's an amazing actor. He just, you know, he does rage very well, and he just his emotions. I thought it was a great episode for him, and also a good episode for Carol.
The only person that great for was Benji.
Benji and Richard.
And Richard.
And Richard, yeah.
Yeah, Benji, you know, gotta be quicker. Gotta get out of the bullet.
All right, well, let's get to the recap. Let's cut to the chase. Why we're here. Bury me all here. Right. So now I wrote these or typed these out pretty quickly as I watched the episode, kind of a little bit of both. So anyway, we'll see how spot on I am with reading as opposed to reading my typing as opposed to reading my handwriting. It opens with a quick music montage of everyone prepping the cargo of one. So it's just one melon. I don't know if you guys noticed this the first time.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, why are they putting one melon in that big truck? At that point, I don't get it.
I was like, why use the truck at all?
Yeah. Even later on when they had 12, I'm like going, it's supposed to have 12. I go, all right, I still don't get why we're having this big truck for 12 melons.
I thought the same thing. I think the only reason they used that truck was to accentuate the fact that there was only one.
Yeah, I think so. But it also, too, I mean, I know there's probably plenty of gas left, but why would you use such a big truck where fuel is going to be, you know?
Right. Totally. Like you could have made that delivery in a minivan and still hold everybody.
And didn't they have another car behind them?
Seemed like it. I mean,
could they all just fit in the truck? They're just not King Ezekiel's people are not very green. That's all I'm going to say.
They're not very fuel efficient.
No, they're not green friendly.
Nope. And forget about having health care. I doubt that they have any health care.
No, I doubt it too.
All right. So pretty much, you know, when you watch the scene again, it has more ominous tone, which is kind of cool.
Right.
Credits roll pretty quickly, and it picks up with Carol waking herself up from her sleep crying.
I was going to say one thing. Was that the shortest cold opening they've had in some time?
It seemed like it. Okay. Russ, can you think of anything? Can you think of anything shorter that they've had?
What do you mean?
The opening.
Oh, like that opening where the cold opening where they just start with the
melon.
No, you know, it was relatively short.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of unusually short. I don't know if
it's,
you know, to get more into the episode or not.
Or they just maybe just wanted us to focus on that scene. Ezekiel shut, you know, they shut the door on the one melon going, all right, what's going on with the one melon? I don't know. It just seemed like a very short cold opening.
Right.
Well, Carol wakes herself up crying as you do. And she lights the old timey lamp, which I also grew up with. And then she fires up a 4-year-old stale cigarette, which I also grew up with. Yeah. So,
well, 4-year-old cigarettes are the best, stale cigarettes.
Well, maybe at 4 or 5 years old. I mean, when's the last time? I know they're, you know, on the East Coast somewhere, but seriously, like nobody's making cigarettes anymore. I mean, it's got to taste bad.
Yeah,
I don't know. I would think so. Yeah, I'd quit. I'd be like, oh, this tastes gross, but gotta have
that. You gotta have that fix.
Yep. Well, it makes her feel really emo. So,
Maybe she can't find the nicotine gum. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. They're all out of patches, but tons of cigarettes. We then see Morgan training Henry, or Benji 2.0 there. Yeah. So you want to become a fighter like your brother. Well, that'll happen next week. why do we have to do it so early in the morning? Well, because I don't know.
Hey, I gotta run and grab my charger. Okay, guys.
Okay.
The chargers, because they seem to have been grabbed and stolen.
Yep, stolen and moved.
Stolen and moved. Well, anyway, I guess we could keep going. I mean,
yeah, let's just keep rolling.
Okay. Well, here's where I wrote down the quote that he says: "If your feet aren't right, nothing's right," which I thought would have some kind of big meaning later in the episode, but it really doesn't.
Well, actually, it didn't seem like he was training him not to be, because he said, you don't want to beat your brother. You want to be your brother.
Yeah, that was kind of sweet.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's trying to teach him that you're doing it for you don't do it for killing. You're doing it to, you know, just better yourself. Meditating and learning and the process. And we'll see that changes at the end, but.
Well, we see Carol go out walking at dawn, and this is where we hear the Tasmanian devil killing action. So she leaves one in the street, and she visits the kingdom, killing a whole group of five walkers or so with a one-way sign.
Now, wasn't that a cool way to kill the walkers?
I go,
okay, we've already seen someone kill the walkers with a sign before. Remember, they used it as like a sword, and they were chopping their heads off. I go, all right, we've seen that before. But when she climbs in the tree and leads them they just keep walking into it. I said, all right, I got to give Carol some points for that one. That was pretty creative.
Yeah.
I don't know why she just couldn't walk up to him and hit him over the head like she did the other one, but it just seemed like a lot more work than you had to do, but who am I?
Sure.
I'm not in her shoes.
Well, it looked like, because there was like these little planks on the, you know, it was like a little treehouse thing. There was a couple boards on that tree that you could climb up.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking like, oh, is this like some secret thing that like everybody knows? Like, oh, this is how you do. You knock on the door while you're waiting. You kill a couple walkers with this one-way sign. Like, it's like, make sure to use that key and, you know, jiggle a handle. And
now, what if it was a stop sign? Would you have to stop?
Stop sign, I think, would be heavier too, right?
Yeah, because
I don't know.
Because a one way, obviously, get it. It's the walkers are just going one way,
right,
to their death. But a stop sign, would the walkers stop? I don't know.
Both would have been probably effective, except for yield.
Would they have to wait for another? If another walker was crossing, did they have to wait for that walker?
When you were a kid, did you ever think that there was a go sign?
A go sign?
Yeah, like there's a stop sign, but there's no go sign. Did you ever think that there was a go sign?
No.
Somewhere in my memory as a kid, I think that there should be a green circle go sign. And I don't know if it's from a...
But isn't that just every road? If there's nothing telling you to stop, it's go.
I realize, but maybe there's a confusion intersection where it's like... Like where, you know, people are driving into the mall and they're doing that like, I don't know if I should go or not. Notice my handicap license plate. I don't know what I should do.
Well, normally.
Sorry, I was behind that person earlier. And I wanted to take a one way to their head.
There's rules. If you first one there gets the four-way stop, first one gets to go, right?
Sure, yeah, totally.
But then you always have the people, we all look at each other.
Yeah.
Stop and go. Well, I was here first, and yeah, that one person was there last, and they go first, which really irritates me. But
I get annoyed with the person that gets there first and proceeds to wave on the other people, because it's like, just follow the effing rule. Just, you got there first. You were clearly first. You're the winner. Just do it. Just go. Like, it would help us all out if you just followed the rules and go. Right. I don't know. That's.
You have those people that are afraid to go. I know when we first moved here, the first night we were here, it was raining, and they have these signs say wrong way, but they're facing the street that you're driving in.
Oh, sure.
And I stopped. I go, there was no cars around. I go, am I going the wrong way?
What? Yeah.
And so we drive the wrong way, wrong. So later on, we figured out, oh, that's just if we're on the other side, it's the wrong way. So I don't know why they have these wrong way signs.
Is this something I get to look forward to when I visit Raleigh in May? Do I get to see this wrong way?
It really threw me off for like the first month. I go, what's the point? There's a giant island in between the two roads. I mean, I don't get it. Why do they have the? This seems like a waste of money. I think someone, a lobbyist that makes those signs.
Thanks, Uncle Sam.
Because if you're going the wrong way down that street, the sign ain't going to help you.
See, I feel like right there, there should be a separate sign for your street that says go. Yeah, there you go. That's where the go sign comes in.
Because I stopped.
Right.
There you go.
You needed that re-encouragement that just says, it's okay. You can go re-encouragement. It's I don't even know if that's a word.
It's okay. You can keep moving because it says go.
Right. Welcome back, Russ.
I think you're just going to have chaos if you have that, though.
We were stuck on signs because of the one-way sign that Carol killed several walkers with as she's trying to get into the kingdom.
Gotcha.
That's where we were at, and yeah, we got derailed.
She's pretty crafty with the sign.
And then that started talking, you know, traffic. I mean, everybody's got their traffic woes. But before I forget, since I mentioned it, there is a you know, Jay and Jack podcasting meetup. This, what is it, May 5th through the 7th, I think? It's like 5th, 6th, and 7th?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the Friday. There's going to be some stuff going on Saturday, the 6th, and the 7th is the Sunday. And I will be in attendance this year. So
there we go.
And it's pretty easy to remember because my Twitter feed is at 5th day of May. And how wow. Appropriate. Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo.
It's like I called my shot a long time ago. I said, you know, I'm not going to visit Jay and Jack until the 5th day of May.
So what is this visit thing for?
Just for fun. A lot of, you know, listeners and other podcasters are coming to the Raleigh area to
meet. Because what better way to spend your vacation than come into Mount Pilot?
Well, when I'm there, I'm gonna definitely tell Goober that Gomer says hey. So
hey.
All right, let's get back to this recap. We'll never get here, and then Michael show up, and we'll have to recap the whole thing again. We got feedback to get to too. So, all right. So she visits the kingdom, killing walkers. Carol treats Benji like a dog. So. Another 80s reference there.
That's a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie. Then she ends up, you know, hey, tell me where Morgan is. Tell me. She's like all Jack Bauer, like from 24. And she's basically like, just tell me why was Rick here? What was going on? And
why did Jesus bring Rick here? You gotta tell me. And I thought Morgan handled this pretty well.
Talk about politicians, huh?
Yeah, he goes, look, you told me not to tell Daryl where you were, and I didn't tell him. You wanted me to keep a secret, so I'm not telling you. Go ask Daryl what's going on.
Oh,
I have my stick.
I'm yeah. And, oh, by the way, he's in Alexandria. You want to go? We can go right now.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Hey, you know, the one thing that I did notice well, you haven't gotten to the part where they made the first delivery, right?
No.
Okay. I'll wait till we get there.
Okay.
Okay. So Morgan tells her to go talk to Daryl. Reminds her she got what she wanted. She got to be alone.
Right.
So, sorry, I'm reading through some of my typos here, too. Such as, offers to lave right then. That's leave right then. So, but I wrote lave.
You can only have one lave.
You can only have one lave, but you can leave as many times as you want. Right. You can only lave once. Benji mentions the drop to Carol, which, you know, they have another interaction here. And it's interesting because he mentions that, you know, he's got to go make this drop. And that's when Carol kind of turns around and is like, It's like she's waiting for more information because he's just like because she doesn't know about the drop or anything deal that they have with. She's just kind of opening her eyes to the fact that the Saviors have a lot more control.
She assumes that they've been defeated, that Rick beat them.
Right. Exactly. I mean, this, you know, the fact that there's a drop, I mean, I don't know. That would perk my ears up if I was like, a drop.
What drop? What are you talking about, Benji?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of surprised she didn't press it for more, but she definitely like stops and actually listens to him. It's basically right. Like, go away. You're bothering me. She stops somewhere after the scene, and this is where we see that she's being followed, or we get the glimpse of a shoulder watching her.
And I knew who it was.
Who was it?
It was Richard.
It was Richard.
Really? Really? Richard was watching her?
Yeah, because he was digging the hole there behind that.
The next scene is Richard digging the grave, but I thought that was somebody else. I thought it was
You don't remember all the shopping carts being right there? When he was digging the hole?
Right.
It was definitely Richard. I'm 99%
and then the shopping carts ended up being what's blocking the road, so it was definitely Richard.
Well, Mike's not here, so I'm gonna throw out that it was the governor. So
that would be Mike's favorite line.
Yeah, it would be. Anyway, so the next scene we see is Richard. He digs his own grave. So next up, we have this character.
Can I ask a question? Every episode of The Walking Dead, every time they're on a road, you see nothing. You'll see tons of leaves.
Yeah, it's forever fall.
There's always leaves on the road. Always. I get there's no traffic. There's not cars driving back and forth. But these leaves, they don't, when the wind blows, they don't just blow off the road. They just make it look like there's nobody. There's always leaves on the road. I mean, it's like they got a big bag of leaves. Let's throw them here.
Maybe. I like this leaf theory. But I think that actually has to do with the time of year in which they shoot the show, because I think they start in the summertime shooting the first half of the season. And then by the time they get to the second half of the season, it's usually they're rounding up the shooting in fall, maybe.
Yeah. I know they're trying to make it look deserted, but mm-hmm. every single road has leaves on it. Every one of them. I know I should just leave this alone, but I can't.
Well, I'm not going to arbor any more feelings about it. So
I don't want to fall behind on the recap. So let's continue.
Let's just spring ahead with this daylight savings recap. Jack and I are here all night, people. So it's the only reason you tune in and for Russ's weird noises. anyway, Nalbia. Nalbia definitely sounds like a drug. Nabila, well, it also could be a drug too. But Nabila visits Ezekiel, but she is terrified of Shiva. So,
hey, one question going back to the scene with Richard.
Don't make me say Nabila's name again.
Do you think there's any relation between Richard and that backpack that said Katie on it?
Yes.
Well,
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's his daughter's.
I would agree with Matt.
Okay.
It is the one little backstory that we got from Richard.
Yeah.
And we'd seen this backpack previously in the season too. So
it had roller skates in it.
It's all connected, man.
There you go.
But it didn't have any bottles of water in it.
No, no water.
Nope, and it wasn't orange.
No water needed in this episode.
No, they had melons.
Yeah, they did have a lot of melons. So enough melons to pickle some fruit. Anyway, she informs Ezekiel that they're going to need to kill the royal garden to prevent it from contaminating or getting into the main crop. So, and as I think a listener pointed out maybe it was Sherry, I think she pointed out the parallel of the diseased section of the garden that must be obliterated so that it doesn't destroy everything, juxtaposed to the situation with the saviors in which something must be done with the disease that's in their midst before the disease reaches the people and destroys everything. So kudos, Sherry, to catching that kind of, I guess, parallel analogy. We like all that you do, Sherry. She always posts something in the Jay and Jack Facebook group about The Walking Dead where you can leave your feedback. But if you like to send it in, The Walking Dead, all spelled out, sg@gmail.com. Send in your feedback there. There's also a link in the show notes. So anyway, back to Bela, and I apologize for murdering her name. She basically is going to pee her pants, and Ezekiel leaves her.
She said she did pee her pants.
I thought she said, "I'm about to."
I think she goes, "I think I just peed my pants." Okay. Or something like that. I think that's what she said. Because it's funny, at the same time, I peed my pants. So, so it was just weird.
And I happened to spill beer on my pants at that moment, too. Okay, so right. It was. Anyway, next we also see one of Ezekiel's men taking out exactly 12 melons in a, wheelbarrow.
Wheelbarrow, yes.
And Benjamin visits Morgan with a gift of restaurant art. And a girl he knows fixed it up. So Morgan was clearly offended that he thought he'd like velvet art. I mean, come on. Velvet art? Seriously?
Who doesn't like back? I mean, I remember getting my mom an Elvis one time.
Well, at least you stick with the classics.
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't a Thomas Kinkade painting, because who wants to look at a cottage when you're dealing with a zombie apocalypse?
Yeah.
Oh, look at this bright little cottage.
I paid $50 for that Elvis Presley artwork on the side of a road.
Well,
I thought it was cool at the time, but looking back, my mom was just being nice when she said, "Oh, okay, thanks."
Russ, do you have any velvet art, black velvet art stories?
No.
Okay. Anyway, you might hear some train in the background. Morgan and Richard are okay. That's the Morgan train. And Morgan and Richard are talking before they leave, and he apologizes. Richard does, and tells him that tells him he disagrees with him on not killing. I thought this was interesting watching it a second time. Richard also tells him not to beat himself up about the day when he has to kill. So, this just in: you're about to die by this man.
It's coming soon.
coming soon, he's going to make that decision on you. Next up, we see Benjamin say goodbye to Henry for the last time, off in the distance. It's kind of a throwaway moment, but take care, kid. Maybe you'll carry on my lightsaber mantle one day.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
You can hold my stick someday, kid.
Meanwhile, Jerry's munching on a cobbler. And Ezekiel is like, "Come on, Jerry, really?
Leave the cobbler." And he's like, "Really?"
Jerry's like, "I want to be the next Fat Joey. Don't you get it?" Morgan wants to know. We see Morgan talking to Benjamin in the back there, and he wants to know about the girl. So there's a girl, huh? They're driving along, and immediately they encounter some lame trap that we learn that Tricky Dick, as we can call him now,
there you go,
set up this whole line of carts, which was pretty lame.
Yeah.
And
well, you know what I thought was lame? They all go walking. Now, if I'm going to set up a trap for somebody, I would block the front and come from behind.
Right.
They all went forward, looking forward around the shopping carts. Nobody other than Richard went back, obviously, because he set the whole thing up. But nobody turned around and said, okay, watch our back, watch right. our flank, watch behind us.
Well, and why didn't they partner up? Because, you know, he basically, you know, watching it a second time, he basically directs all of them in right. this whole he operation. Does. I got this, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to, you know, and he goes to the back immediately. You know, there should have been a second person, then point person that goes with him. And then, yeah, they would kind of spread out a little bit more, but yeah, they do.
You don't leave the truck. So someone should have right. stayed on the truck.
Right.
But all right.
Yeah. Cause I mean,
I know I'm not king.
I know. Right. And really, like, I mean, when you look at it, that truck could have plowed through those grocery carts.
Yeah.
And that truck was big enough. It was big enough to carry 100,000 melons. I'm exaggerating, but a lot more than just 12.
Right.
That's for sure. A baker's 12.
Anyway, if I'm going to go to battle with these guys, if Rick's going to go to battle with these guys, they need some training.
Well, eventually they do find the grave that he has made, and Ezekiel remarks about how the world drives people crazy. Who knows what madness lies in men?
That's a very good Ezekiel.
Thanks. Benji actually kind of, you know, regurgitates Ezekiel's stuff back to him and says, look, you've built them another world that doesn't drive people crazy. Look at how good you are. Hopefully I don't die in the next 20 minutes.
Hopefully I don't bleed out.
I don't want to bleed my opinion out all over the place here, guys.
Did someone remember Band-Aids? Anyone? We might need them.
Gauze, towels, you know, tourniquets.
Yeah.
Bottles
of water.
Yeah, there you go.
They are.
By the way, I did want to say one thing. Going back to the where they first when they met.
Yeah.
You give the cantaloupes.
Yep, that's the next scene. They are delayed with meeting with Gavin, and then they show up and they explain how. Go ahead. You wanted to point something out.
The one thing I did want, remember how we're always talking about how they're always like out somewhere and they're not in like a city kind of thing?
Yes.
Well, if you look in the background, you'll see buildings.
Are you talking about the times in which they've met with them?
Because this particular time you could see buildings in the background. Before, you hadn't been able to see them.
Oh. I always assumed from that one scene that we saw, and what's her name? Diana had said, you know, oh, my sister always loved that dress. You know, like, it seems like that scene was shot in a city too. I always thought that they were meeting in a city, but
I think they're meeting in the same spot.
That's what I always assumed. But
yeah, but I'm saying that, you know, how they're always talking about how they're in Alexandria in the DC area, and I know Jack and I have talked about it before, like, it's not remote, like, it's got a lot of like buildings and houses and stuff. I mean, like, the DC area is huge, so for them to always look like they're out in the country is kind of unrealistic, because the DC area really isn't like that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying now.
Yeah.
Now explain the leaves.
Yeah, they explain the leaves.
Well, they're delayed with their meeting with Gavin, and Gavin explains how this didn't go well for his stress. He didn't take on this whole thing because of stress, like, which I don't know. Gavin's just such a sad sack. He's such a lame person for a menacing villain. It's like, why do I have to do this job? Oh my gosh. I don't know.
It does sound like him.
It's just every time I hear this guy talk, I'm like, really? Another scene with Gavin? I get annoyed with the scenes. Anyway, he's not even a menacing bad guy. Like, he doesn't even like, yeah, okay, the kid died, whatever. You know?
He has a heart.
He does.
You know who he reminds me of?
The Tin Man?
No. Do you ever remember the sitcom Benson?
Yeah.
He reminds me of the one guy on Benson that was always like Benson's kind of nemesis, you know, you know who I'm talking about?
No, that's a deep cut for me. Cause I'm not that familiar with Benson. I remember Benson.
It's been a while Jack, since I've you? Seen Benson. Yeah, but it's been a while since I've seen it. I think it was the governor's aide or something like that.
Yeah, that's who he reminds me of.
Do you remember what Benson was a spinoff from? It's one of my favorite. Ah, one of my favorite shows. Soap.
Yep. Very good show that people protested when it first came out.
Ah, oh, so good.
It should not have been on TV. It was going to destroy America.
I love it when Bert gets abducted by aliens. So it's one of my favorite.
That is good.
favorite parts.
I like Bob and his the was the ventriloquist. The thing was puppet or whatever they call him was Bob, but I can't remember what it is. Those were some of the greatest scenes in there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The ventriloquist stuff is really good.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Going back to what's his name? Drew
Blank, Gavin.
Gavin. He just seems like he's a reluctant leader.
He's
doing this because this is where it's better than being a peon in Negan's group. He's doing this just to survive because you see I agree to do this stuff. You can tell it's probably something he's not comfortable doing, but he has to do it because he doesn't want to die. Because if he doesn't do it, he's going to get the iron to the face.
Right, sure.
So that's why he does it. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's forced to do bad things, is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
Well, they're all Negan, so I guess they all just think like Negan.
Well, you know, after a while, the whole you're Negan, you know, it just gets old after a while. You get tired of it, you know. It's like wears on you. You're like, oh, another day where I have to be Negan?
I don't even have – I'm not a spell it. Can't spell my own name.
unless you're Eugene, then you were Negan before you thought about being Negan.
Is Negan my first name or is it my last name? I don't know.
It's like Madonna. Could be either. It's like Sting. It's universal.
Yeah, Sting. Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. All right, on with the show. We got Gavin. All right. So as Gavin looks at their gift, he then asks for their guns. So, which never given to a dictator, taken away. Has the NRA not taught us anything? Come on.
I thought I was hoping, okay, shoot them. Shoot them. Shoot
right.
Them. But no.
Well, I think everybody, Russ, did you want them to have a gunfight here? Because I was ready for it.
I did, but I couldn't see it going that way.
Yeah, me too.
Too early in the episode. Plus, Benji still had to die.
He dies. Ezekiel offers a trade, basically. Okay, look, we'll give you the guns. Just give us Morgan's stick because it's really powerful and magical. It's got this cool crystal.
Morgan loves his stick, man.
We just have to have a win. You know, you get the guns, we get the stick. But Gavin is firm, and he's like, no, look. I need your guns. And that's when dictators take over. They give him the guns, and he's basically like, all right, look, you're short. And now that I have all your guns, you can't fire back.
Because you're emotional.
Because you're emotional, exactly.
And, you know, Ezekiel's the kind of guy you want to play fantasy football with.
Because he'll give you a Tom Brady.
I'll give you a kicker for Tom Brady.
Okay. Sure.
As long as everybody doesn't die except Benji.
I want both of your defenses, both Pittsburgh and I don't know, New England. Why not?
Why not?
All right. So back to this show. Gavin hardlines them and basically like, no, look, it's time. We got to do this. And whatever Gavin's little henchman is, I can't remember, Jesus 2.0. He's basically like, yeah, we get to kill now. He's really excited because he's going to kill Richard, but instead shoots poor little tiny Tim, the orphan that everybody loved and nobody saw that he was ever going to die from the first half of the season.
His name is Jared.
Jared. Thanks. Yeah, that's right. Cause we talked about this, all of the J names.
Cause he was selling sandwiches after he shot.
Jared. I think it's Jared Hansen.
Well, now now we know why he shot the kid.
Oh,
is that too soon?
You know, if my Helen Keller joke can't fly, I mean, come on. Jeez.
Gotta get rid of the witnesses.
All I'm doing is comparing Russ to Helen Keller. That's all. Okay.
I got it. I just had to sneak in a Jared joke there. And I just,
sure. Started, yeah. Well, second week in a row. So, all right. Cause I compared the sprint guy to Jared.
That's so, right. There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, basically party's over, man. They're like, okay, look, we're out of here. Just give him the stick. Let's go. And yeah, he's really upset with Jared. Like, oh, don't let me get, you know, I'm going to be mad. But anyway, they hurry up and they leave. Morgan even mentions in this hubbub, he mentions taking him to Carol because she's closer.
Right.
So watching it a second time through, I noticed he mentions Carol. But Richard continues to look dumbfounded. And I blame Benjamin's death on Richard because he's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Huh?
I was supposed to be dead. What happened here? Oops.
Yeah. If anybody has a toddler, this is what like trying to get a toddler in a car is like. We're ready to go now. This guy's bleeding out. Could you just get in the car? Just get in the car.
We got to go see grandma. We got to go see grandma.
In the car.
I want to play my toys.
Do you want to play on the device? Come on, Richard.
Come on.
He's bleeding out. Oh, sorry. I don't know. I just kept like.
When you're bleeding like that, you know, time's not important.
Yeah, he's just like, anyway, he's shell-shocked, so he's got a little PTSD. They make it to good old Farmer Carol. She's planting seeds.
Who's your best doctor?
Yeah, right?
I said, is Carol been known to, is she a doctor?
I don't know. I think it's just the fact that she's closer. I think that was the it was a proximity thing.
Okay, but it's still Carol. I mean, I'm trying to. I know she kills a lot of people, but how many people has she saved? That was my point. I'm like going, okay, I get going to Carol, but they could have pulled over any one of those houses and found something, a table.
Well,
let's put them over here.
Okay. I don't think Tyrese was around to say like, look, she's not good with kids, guys. Not good with kids.
Well, she did give Benjamin flowers when he was sitting there.
Yeah.
Look at these flowers, Benji.
Look at the flowers on this drapery here.
But seriously, have we seen, I know she's helped, but this guy is bleeding bad. Benji is bleeding bad. He needs a doctor.
I thought it was proximity. I thought it was like, it was faster to get to Carol's than it was to get to.
I get that. But
he did mention that she has bandages and stuff like that at that house.
Towels. She's got towels.
Okay. Rip off your shirt and put it in try to stop the bleeding. I'm thinking too much of this. I just think it was something to get Carol.
She's O negative, man. She's O negative. She's a great donor.
Something to get Carol involved so she would be angry to so she would go. I think it was just a plot device put in there, but I'm like, I go, don't you have a doctor at the kingdom? I get it. But you could have stopped anywhere. That's what my point.
No, you're right. And the next lines in my recap are basically Benji, the poor orphan kid, dies in her living room, bleeding out, ruining her carpet. And Ezekiel apologizes, but it doesn't even offer up any cobbler this time. No, so he's really slipping.
No cobbler, no rug cleaner. I mean, it was just
it's like, Jerry, did you bring the cobbler? Oh yeah, that's right. You ate the Carol cobbler.
And who stabbed Benji in the head?
That's a good question because I thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, we don't see it, but who of all those people who had to do it? Was it Morgan?
I say Ezekiel does it.
You think Ezekiel? I don't know. I don't think he's that kind of guy. I think it's maybe Richard did it. So, well, it's kind of my fault. Pop him in the head. But I said, because he's laying there, I'm assuming they've already stabbed him in the head. You know,
that's an awkward thing. And like Richard's like, I got this, guys.
Yeah, I'm cool with it, okay?
Yeah. Hey, I feel really bad about this because I waited so long.
Yeah, it took me a long time to get on the truck, so it's kind of like my fault.
Because I ran in the bushes, I had to pee, and then, you know, I had to like program my Walkman and everything, you know, so I had to get the right tunes because I like to listen.
You have to get the GPS to get to Carol's. So that was
really Anyway, Ezekiel apologizes, and yeah, that's it. Next
Russ,
scene.
Russ, what are you typing?
Say what?
What are you typing?
not typing anything.
Okay, I hear Morse code.
You humping something?
No.
Sorry, I just could not help. I could not help. It's all this 80s talk.
We always blame it on Mike. Mike's not here, so I know it's not me.
It's all the 80s talk. It just gets to me. It takes me back. It's a term that's more from the 80s, I think.
I know. I got it.
You got it. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody got it. They're like, nobody says that, Matt. That is just rude. It's like saying farting. Like, nobody does that. Sorry. Anyway, speaking of letting things slip, Morgan slips into crazy town. He starts going all clear, bury me here, crazy, flashback, montage. He goes into like some kind of deep True Detective style thing where he's like, oh, if I kick over this yellow recycling bin.
And then he kicked it over and went, all right, all right, all right.
Yeah, and he's like, picks up the melon, starts sniffing it. He's like, it smells like Richard. He uses a special hand lotion. It's like, it smells like lavender, so it must be him.
It's got to be Richard.
So he's like, oh, is this your recycling bin, Richard? Forgot to take out the plastic this week. So he confronts Richard. And Richard basically just gives this long speech. And it's a heartbreaking speech. We actually think that he's more than just someone that we can call Dick. And
I because my wife is watching here, and I go, he's going to kill him. I go, Morgan's going to kill him. She goes, you think so? I go, yeah, this guy is dead.
Wow.
And then he didn't kill him. I go, going, come on, man.
Come wow, on, you totally got it, though.
Yeah.
You just were, it was just delayed.
I was too soon.
That rage that he had in his eyes, though. It did look like he was.
Plus he wasn't saying anything, and when Richards was making a good case to not be killed,
mm-hmm.
but you know, it was supposed to be me. It's supposed to be me. I was waiting for whack him in the head. Okay, it is you.
Well, Ezekiel and crew meet up with Gavin the next day, and Gavin is upset that the kid was killed. Yeah. Oh, don't you say anything, Jared?
Walk home. Walk home now. Don't pass. No, you're not riding. You're walking home. And you better be in your room when I get home.
Yeah, it was a very parental thing. And even Jared was just like,
gee. Yeah, you kill one kid.
Yeah, it totally.
Were they going to send me to jail now?
As I started to refer to him, Dick Whitman brings over the fruit. And starts to basically go into like saying some speech like, oh, well, we blah, blah, blah. And then Morgan's just like, whatcha? Attacks him from the back and kills Richard brutally with his bare hands. Well, less graphically.
I like that everyone goes, Ezekiel goes, Morgan! And everyone just stands there watching him kill Richard. No one, at this point, they don't know what's going on. They don't know that but nobody stops Morgan from killing Richard.
Yeah.
Nobody.
That's true.
Am I right? At this point, we don't know what the issue was. They don't know what they're fighting about.
At this point, Morgan's more of a BA than Ezekiel. I'll just say that much.
Well, I get that, but Richard's been with the group longer.
Right.
I guess Morgan has more clout. He does have the magic stick.
Yeah. Well, it was. I liked how they shot this. It was very Hitchcockian, right? Like, we don't really see, you know, if people were complaining about the graphic violence, I mean, we just hear his guttural.
Now, you know, he's slamming his head on the pavement, and he's choking him, so.
Mm.
Killing him.
After he kills him, then he's like, let me explain. Richard set this whole thing up. I didn't frame him. You're just going to have to take my word on it now.
Yeah. He had the plastic covering the melon, you know, hey, it was all him.
Should have smelled it. Smelled like lavender lotion. You know how he likes the lavender lotion. He took it all.
He bogarts the lavender lotion. Doesn't show
it. Yeah. It leaves everybody else with the cucumber lotion.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to smell that cucumber stuff.
No.
Anyway, everybody believes him. And Morgan even goes up and reconciles with Gavin. And Gavin's like, it's cool, man. It's good. Like,
I same time next home. So we're good.
Yeah. Same time next week. So,
Morgan stays behind and stabs.
That's right. Morgan, there is the scene, as it goes that, Morgan lets it slip that, he calls Benjamin Dwayne.
Yes.
And I thought that was a nice moment because Ezekiel then offers to help him. But Morgan's like, no, I need my after killing time. Every man needs it.
Time, yeah.
Yeah. Which, why not?
I killed somebody. I got asked for alone time.
I think it'd be like winning the Super Bowl. You're like, okay, well, I need.
I'm good.
Maybe it's not like winning the Super Bowl. Don't listen to me. Morgan carries Richard back to his grave, as you do, and he buries him. You
know, but I did notice he's dragging him, and there's no blood drag marks. There's no, he's dragging him on this pavement. There's no blood.
He must have, you know, stabbed him in the head too, you'd think.
Yeah. Well, he did. He does it when he's, when they all leave, you see Morgan bound. He does stab him in the head.
Oh, okay.
But there's no blood. There's nothing. I don't know. Did he siphon all the blood out? I think there'd be some blood somewhere. You're dragging somebody.
Yeah. Well, after he buries him and finds Katie's backpack and he brushes it off, he's like, oh, I'll clean this off. Now I'm going to put more dirt on it.
Exactly.
Morgan begins to go all zombie kung fu. He's just like, I gotta get some exercise. And he kills a bunch of zombies and then knocks on Carol's door with his bloody stick. And he's basically like, hey, you want to know what happened to Alexandria? Here's what happened. Here's all of the people that died. And then begins to tell her, you know, basically, you know, I don't know what basically they avoided 2 weeks ago from telling us.
Right. So, Glenn died. Abraham died. All the people died. There's all the people died. Rick's, you know, we're now working for the saviors.
Yeah.
And she's like, we're not having any of that. Oh no.
She did. I mean, she basically does exactly what they spelled out. And maybe that's the part that's predictable. I mean, we kind of thought that Benji would die. We kind of thought that there needed to be a sacrifice that would bring Ezekiel into the fold as well as Carol. It did both. So to finish out this episode here, let's see. Morgan goes kung fu. Carol offers Morgan that you can go or not go philosophy, but basically he's not buying it. And we see that she ends up going to the kingdom herself. She brings a backpack
to plant flowers, which is always
that's
a bad,
true.
It's always a bad sign with Carol. Because kids looking going, Ezekiel, I'm going to go because Carol's planting flowers and she's going to want me to look at them. So I need to go.
I think it's good that Ezekiel was there with Henry, you know, yeah. It's just like, but they get all Earth Day and they play some peaceful music and it's like, let's plant some flowers for peace. But essentially Ezekiel's like
behind it. They were burning the plants that they had to burn.
Oh, were they?
Well, I'm assuming that's was because there's like these giant cylinders that they had, that had smoke coming out of them. So I'm assuming those were the burning plants.
Okay. For some reason I did not pick up on that, but that was also the section that I didn't watch twice through. Okay. So, at the end here, we do see Morgan, carving and he's approached by the ghost of Benjamin. I don't know. I don't know what that ending was about, but you know, he's carving and he kind of looks behind him and I thought he was being approached by someone.
So did
I. And then I just just assumed that it was like a ghost or a spirit, or like maybe it's the crazy town that's coming back.
Or did they not stab Benjamin in the head and he's now a walker? I knew we forgot something.
Ah, I don't know. It just, it did feel like a spirit kind of level, yeah, of like, you know, what's coming, or, you know, exactly. Cue the next theme music and keep binge watching. So that's the episode, the long and the short of it. What else did you guys think of the episode?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good episode. At least it's going in the direction we want. We want some battles going on, right?
Yeah, and I liked the fact that, I mean, I know that it was somewhat predictable as far as these plot points coming together, but I don't know. I felt like this episode didn't drag too much.
No,
it feels like the plot has been moving along in a nice cohesive puzzle pieced way that, I don't know, seems organic, but yet, I don't know. It doesn't seem too out of left field. And I know some of the pieces came together a little bit too neat, but I don't know.
It was a good episode. It's setting up the last three episodes, I think. So I had no problem with it. Like I said, it was predictable. Like some of the plot points I point out with like Carol, we got to stop at Carol's. Why? Because we get Carol mad, so she gets involved.
Right.
And she can convince Ezekiel, okay, we need to do something. They're just going to keep killing off your people.
Well, do you think that, okay, what if, let's say they didn't go to Carol's. What if they brought him back to the kingdom, Benjamin, and there he dies, like in the courtyard, you know, with Henry and like all of the other kingdom people watching, you know, this boy die, you know, does that empower them to be like, yeah, like we're gonna fight now or whatever?
I think that would have worked better and been more believable than take him to Carol
and then have Morgan show up at Carol's later and be like, yeah, Benji also died.
He died, and not to mention they also didn't. They've killed Rick, but not Rick. They killed.
They mentioned Spencer and
Spencer and
right and Abraham.
They killed all them off, and then that would get her involved. But you know, they went a different direction. I'm okay with it.
Sure. Yeah.
It probably cost less just to take it to Carol than to have all those extras and have those people you have to pay to be in the.
Well, you don't want to emotionally scar Henry. I mean, that kid, he's clearly going to be the next leader.
Right, exactly. Or he gets mauled by the tiger. I don't know. Maybe that happens next week.
that would be an interesting kind of turn of events. Russ, you have any other feedback as far as the episode? I know you muted yourself there.
Anyway, Russ, you there? All right. I guess we can move on. You want to get to the feedback?
Yeah, let me get to the feedback. We had a couple emails, and I'd like to kind of start with one of them that we got from Christy here. She says, damn it, Walking Dead. I was so hoping for a Ben Carl romance since things were with Ron didn't work out so well. Ben and Carl.
Carol?
Oh, well, she didn't write Carol.
Ben and Carl. Oh, Ben and Carl maybe being together. Benjamin and Carl fighting together.
Maybe it auto-corrected for Carl, but I could see Benjamin and Carl.
Okay.
Carol. Maybe, I mean, Benjamin and Carl. Carol.
Maybe she was talking about Benjamin and Carl fight being young kids fighting together.
Oh, it says, yeah, I see. Bromance. It does say bromance there, bromance. So that would make sense. Since things with Ron didn't work. Okay, I get what she's saying there. Okay. They were going to be the next generation of brains, heart, and badassery. I really liked Benjamin. Sad. I was kind of worried before Ben was shot because you just knew someone was about to die, and I feared it would be Jerry. But no, we still got Jerry. just curious. What you guys thought when Morgan asks Richard if he told Ezekiel, and Richard says that they will talk about it later, but Ezekiel looks at Morgan's face and from that decides they need to talk about it now. They don't get a chance to, because the Saviors get there at that moment, and then Morgan kills Richard. But the fact that Ezekiel seems to trust Morgan more than Richard really struck me. Richard is his right-hand guy, right? Morgan has been there a very short time, but he has the king's full trust over one of his own. Just thought it was interesting. Does that mean that something had happened with Richard and Ezekiel for him to just trust Morgan more and eventually allow Morgan to kill him without questioning for a moment the reason? Or is it just that Ezekiel really understands Morgan and gets him? I do think that they could have used Richard in their fight, since it would be all hands on deck and Richard seemed brave and ready to fight. Thoughts, guys? No?
I think that Richard was more pro-war. He right. wanted to attack. He wanted to fight. And Morgan was pro-peace, which Ezekiel doesn't want to fight. He's okay. He doesn't necessarily like the deal he has with the Saviors, but he's okay with it. Whereas Richard wanted to fight. So I think that might have been the why he had a better relationship with Morgan over Richard. Just a thought.
Yeah. She goes on, Christy goes on to say, also interesting, Gavin did legitimately seem sad and sorry that the kid was dead. The Saviors seem to, for the most part, not care for who they kill. Do they have a code not to kill kids? Or is it that Gavin's own humanity, or maybe he isn't a lost cause? I think he's just a really sad, mopey cause, personally, Christy. Anyway, she ends with, really liked the episode. Great acting by Lenny. Morgan and Carol are on board and finally have Ezekiel understanding that they have to join up and fight now, because each day they get weaker and no matter what they do, people will continue to die. That's kind of where Rick had to get to. So, Christy, thanks for the feedback. We will definitely put your name in the drawing for the end of the season and send in feedback next week. You can have another entry in.
And I never thought about this. Maybe they do have a code not to kill kids, because Carl could have been killed a couple times.
It's true.
And they haven't killed him.
So that's true, yeah.
But, you know, remember we talked about that before, that maybe there's some connection between the whole kid thing and Negan.
Well, yeah. You have this theory that he wants to have a child, right? Or birth, you know, right?
Or that some kids or something like that.
Do you think we're getting a Negan flashback episode this season? I thought I heard a rumor about that, but basically we only have 3 episodes to go, so.
I would hope so, but I, like you said, I'm starting to have doubts.
The next week's episode is called The Other Side, so perhaps. I don't know. I didn't see the previews. Next up for the feedback. Russ, did you have something
I think
else
the thing, though. Yeah, I was saying, I think the thing about Negan, though, is, like, I think that's what makes him the character that he is the fact that he has this, like, I think if you give a bet, there might be some sense of, you know, maybe understanding or whatnot, and then it kind of de-villainizes him.
Well, that's why I said if we do get a flashback, I don't want to see that he was a preacher or some nice guy, or, you know, the guy next door. I want him to be a jerk in the real world too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he did something that was that overly professional, just because he doesn't seem to know a lot about stuff, I would say, you know. Or maybe he does. I mean, he knew about the bullet being a homemade bullet, although he could have just been reading the script on that one. But, you know, how Eugene figured out the whole thing about, you know, he was talking about the problem with the walkers in the last episode.
Right.
You know, and it's like, well, why didn't he think of that if he's, you know, been around the block that much, you know, profession-wise? So maybe he was something else.
Milkman?
So I don't know, maybe that should be like something we can put out there as like a Twitter poll question, like what
our Twitter poll guy just quit this week.
Hey Mike, do you got that? Oh. Too soon.
All right, I'm going to get to the rest of this feedback. Then we can get to more speculation here. So we got this one from Vicky. Thanks again, Vicky, for sending in feedback. She says, hi, guys. The show continues to frustrate me for its many flaws, and one of them being focusing on one character or group. I hope you're talking about The Walking Dead and not our podcast. I would like the show to focus on more characters in an episode. They can't seem to pull that off. So when this could have run at a steady pace, it is just focusing on a narrow view and moving very slowly. It is annoying and takes away from my enjoyment of the episode. I can't believe that the end part of this series is taking every episode to stretch out the beginning of the fighting with the Saviors. Like the episode which just focused on the kingdom, I would like it if this episode had sprinkling of the hilltop, Oceanside, Alexandria, the garbage people, etc. I did enjoy Morgan and Carol in the episode. I'm glad Carol finally found out what was happening with the Saviors in Alexandria. I like how Negan and his group were revealed to Carol as the killers they are. I'm glad Carol is ready to join the fight against the Saviors. Maybe Negan's Jeffrey Dean Morgan, maybe Negan's butt has melted away in the hot Atlanta weather. That is why it's so small. Laugh out loud, just a joke. Thanks, Vicky.
That could be it. He could do nasty things to you. I kind of agree with her on the cat. You know, we're not seeing, you know, last week we had Michonne and we barely, and this week we only had, you know, Carol, Ezekiel, Morgan. We're not getting all the characters, but I think I hate to say it, but they're dragging it out because I don't think they want Negan to die yet.
Sure.
But I think when you keep, I think the problem with The Walking Dead, and I think Mike sent us a, was it Mike or you that sent us something this week about the ratings being down so much?
Oh, Mike.
Yeah. You can only keep dragging things out so much for people to start losing their interest in it. You know, it's just, you have to keep the story going. I think this episode did at least push the story towards something, but I guess we'll have to wait and see where they go with it.
I guess I didn't mind that. I mean, I do like those episodes, and they had one this season where it sprinkled in a couple different storylines, and I did like that. I think this one had to focus on that relationship with Benjamin, or at least show that, you know, like his send off. We had to have that, like,
right?
I don't know, a little bit more with that setup, but
you needed something to push Ezekiel over the edge to where he wants to, you know, okay, I got to do the right thing.
Right.
It's kind of like when FDR left the Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor. World War II, allegedly.
Well, speaking of World War II, we have an email from the UK. So,
okay.
Next up is from Anna Marie. Hey guys, is it just me that doesn't understand the deal with the kingdom? Have with the saviors, or the deal that the kingdom has with the saviors at all. So one week they get a load of zombie fed pigs, and this week they have 12 melons. I know the saviors haven't been in the kingdom, so they don't know quite what their capabilities for a tribute are, but seriously, I have to agree with you, Anna Marie. I have wondered as well, like, do they have a grocery list? Like, what's the deal? Like, one week's melons, one week's pigs.
That is true. They haven't been in there.
Right.
So how do they know what they have?
We got ostrich meat this week. Hope you like it. So.
You like your llama?
Yeah. You guys like llama? We have two llamas. All zombie fed.
Well, maybe they send them like a menu, you know, a couple days out and say, here, you know, order a la carte.
We might have some tomatoes ready in a week. What do you guys want? So
that is true.
But, you know, that's the other thing is, like, since when did the you know, Washington, D.C. area become a leader in cantaloupe producing?
Anna Marie, you just got Russ started on a whole other tangent, so thanks for that. She also adds, also, did anyone else feel awkward that Morgan was just broadcasting that Carol has medical supplies in front of these saviors? Yes, I did notice that he did mention Carol.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. Way to go, Morgan.
Benjamin's death isn't surprising or really something that bothers me at all. And why they've only just brought up a girl he's close to seems like a last minute clutching at straws for us to feel a connection for him. Yeah, I agree. Like I said, he's an orphan. He's going to go up on the Challenger. He's got a box of kittens. Like, what more can we make him more adorable, right?
Yeah, I have to agree.
She adds, I was just confused by why I should really care. Richard's history should have been something he'd brought up before this. It would have added weight to his to this argument he's been running to multiple people with. So why is he only just bringing this to the table? Oh,
trying to save his bacon.
To try to make me care that he's dead, but I don't. That's what. At least we can stop hearing this tired and rehashed moral speech now. But then again, it's The Walking Dead thinking that they're going to rehash the same argument is probably hoping for too much from this show. You're right, Anna Marie. Lastly, she says, I do want to say that their use of the cliffhanger has finally been done right. Actually, using a commercial break to build suspense rather than an entire effing summer worked so much better. Even though I wasn't surprised by Ben getting the hit, is there hope that they're learning not to leave things under a dumpster for weeks? Am I being too optimistic? Thanks, Anna Marie, UK.
Can I say one thing about the Benjamin thing?
Yeah.
I'm just guessing here. I don't think we were supposed to care about Benjamin's death. Ezekiel was.
Oh.
So I don't think we were, because I like said, okay, kid died. We kind of joked about it. You know, it was like, okay, I can go on. You know,
right.
Bad for the actor losing a job, but, you know, Richard dying, all right, feel bad for the actor, but I hadn't really grown that attached to him. You know, I think it was like Vicky said, well, you could have used him to help fight, but at that point, did he deserve, because he's kind of broken the trust. So, but I don't think, like I said, I think the main point of Benjamin dying was to get Ezekiel to care about his death and Morgan to care about the death, not us.
Yeah, no, I agree. With that assessment. So thanks a lot, Anna Marie, for sending in your feedback. Your name will be also submitted to the lottery. So, and we appreciate your feedback. So coming all the way from the UK, I think that the UK gets the episode like a day early too from the US release.
They get a day early?
Yeah. At least that's what I saw.
They get it on Saturday?
Maybe it's just because of the hour or something. I don't know, but yeah.
Saturday.
They get it like a day early or something.
Well, that's not fair.
At least that's what I saw online somewhere.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I saw it online. It's got to be true. So.
Okay. All right. You saw it online. Sherry had a question in the Facebook, our Jay and Jack Facebook page. Podcast question for Matthew and Jack.
Uh-oh.
Not for Russ, because she just didn't care about Russ. So was the cardboard Bury Me Here sign a callback to something I don't remember? And I just think Richard assumed he was going to be killed. They'd find out that it was him the whole time and they would just bury him there. Because I think that's his daughter's backpack, right?
Yeah, that's what I took from it. And I didn't think that the Bury Me Here was a reference to anything other than the fact that he was planning on dying and he wanted the group to like put him there. I did think it was weird though when Morgan started doing his flash, and then I was like, oh wait, did Morgan plan this up? Like, I started to think, you know, that was the only red herring in the whole episode where I started to think like that maybe Morgan was having like some kind of crazy episode and he made the
that he realized it was he had subconsciously had done it.
Yeah, like he was sitting in the grave at one time in all of those flashes, you know, and I mean, it was just one, you know, squirrel baby away from being a Lost episode. So anyway,
I still thought it was for Sasha to Rosita was going to put Sasha there after she kills her.
But oh,
I guess not.
Anyway,
you can dream.
Well, that's our feedback for this week.
Feedback always makes the episode, our podcast episode, better.
Oh, we appreciate it. So, and it spices up more than just my recap. So, send in more feedback. As I mentioned, I put it in the show notes. So thewalkingdead3sg@gmail.com, or yeah, you can call in, you know, we've have a phone number. Jack knows it by heart, but
385-309-0311. Call anytime with your questions, comments, and or theories.
And at this time, we'd like to thank three special patrons, right?
We like to thank all our patrons, but three of them we have to thank.
Oh, they're the top tier.
I think it's in our bylaws we have to thank them.
Oh, okay.
Tack from Tokyo, Eka Rickner-Glatfelder, and Molly, the millennial. Thanks for doing what you do. And thanks to all our patrons. And thanks to everyone who shops on Amazon.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And rate and review us, you know, retweet the show, if you will. Follow us on Instagram or also on Twitter. And help us promote the show. We're get a lot of downloads, and we appreciate any feedback that you
get. Three more episodes, and you won't have to hear the stupid guys, three stupid guys, for like 6 months.
Oh, we go on a deep hiatus. Yeah. So.
Three episodes, and you guys are done with us.
Well,
unless we decide to fear the Walking Dead.
Anyway. At least some of us you're done with. Jack, you can get, you know, almost 24/7.
Yeah, there, but yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm still stupid, but it's only just me stupid, not three stupid guys.
Yeah, and I at some point I did mute Russ. I don't know how to unmute him now. Oh, okay. There he is.
Oh, you muted him?
I thought I did. Maybe he muted himself.
Are you there, Russ?
I'm here.
Did you mute yourself?
No.
Oh, okay. I think I muted you because you were making so much racket I couldn't hear Jack. Sorry.
Racket?
Yeah, you know, it's like you're, I don't know what you're doing. It sounds like you're giving Morris code to Carol. That's just in. Benjamin died. The Titanic has been sunk.
Glenn got his head smashed in by a baseball bat.
We saw his eye.
Abraham had red hair. Oh, before and after.
That's our show for this week. Good.
Any final comments for us? Anything you want to conclude with?
Well, I think the last three episodes are going to be pretty interesting.
Well, I hope so.
Now that Carol's back into acceptable behavior.
Because we never agreed with you, but you said that Carol was, what was the term you used? She got soft, she got weak.
A weenie.
A weenie.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy.
I disagreed with
hefty,
you.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
I think we all disagreed with you, didn't we? But she's okay in your book now?
Well, yeah. I mean, she's back to, you know, joining the, you know, the super friends.
She was like a gunslinger that had to like hang up her gun for a while. And now she's being called back in because there's been some bad blood.
That's a great analogy because every Western
mm-hmm.
TV show has that episode where the gunfighter comes to town.
Yeah.
And no longer wants to be the gunfighter, but yet people, since he's the fastest draw, want to take him on.
Totally. That's Carol.
That's Carol.
Hey, that's what happened to Wyatt Earp.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, he just wanted to enjoy life and, you know, make lots of money and stuff until the Cowboys started pushing him around, and then he had to step in.
Yeah.
That's Carol. She's going to lead him.
She's going to go to Tombstone, Arizona.
Yep. It's going to be her, Doc Holliday, and Rick.
Doc Holliday and Green Lantern.
I think Daryl's Doc Holliday. So
I'll be your Huckleberry.
All right. That's our show for this week.
So who do you think,
or not?
Who do you think is going to be the one to knock off Negan?
Huh. That's a good question.
Because it seems like a lot of people have a beef with him, you know, like everyone's got a.
Well, like, they have to do it in a satisfying way, I think. Where
like, even you know. Dwight, you know, Dwight's got a shot at it too.
I think Dwight's gonna get under the iron to the other side of the face for this season's over.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
I don't know. I'm just it could be Dwight. If it's Dwight, wouldn't we be like, we don't like Dwight? Why did Dwight get to kill him?
Yeah, I don't. I think there's going to be more of a showdown between Dwight and Daryl at some point. I mean, those two clearly have to face off. So, but
I don't think Daryl kills him.
Yeah, I think it's more of like a multiple kind of organized. You know, I think it's going to take several efforts because you got Mustachio Man, you got Gavin. You know, it's like you got to almost take out these generals or these lieutenants. Yeah, and
maybe Dwight gives Daryl his motorcycle back.
I think they're going to start waving that that flag around that says, you know, bury me here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Resist or
one way.
Yeah. Death or liberty, something like that. Cut off the head.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway.
All right. Great show, guys.
That's our show. Well, let's blow it up. Great show, kids. One in a million. 4,000.
Hasta luego. And goodbye. Russ?
See you guys.
Russ is creepy.